On his first missionary journey from Antioch, the Apostle Paul appointed elders in every church, according to Acts chapter 14, verse 23. Now we know that the New Testament refers to these men as elders, and also calls them shepherds, pastors, overseers, bishops, and presbyters. To what purpose, some have asked, does a church need elders? Perhaps a brief overview of the organization of the church and the chain of authority that exists for the church would be helpful in causing all of us to understand alike the matter under consideration. When we think about the organization of the church and the chain of command or chain of authority, we realize that God, creator and the sustainer of this universe, our Heavenly Father, has supreme authority. The Bible also tells us that God has made His Son, Jesus Christ, to be head of the church. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 20 to 23. Jesus Himself said in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, "All authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth." But Jesus lived on this earth relatively for but a short period of time. And when He ascended back to heaven, He delegated authority over the church to His chosen apostles for the purpose of accomplishing His work here on the church, or here on the earth. The apostles, under the guidance of Christ, by way of the Holy Spirit, taught the will of Christ to the church and were the leaders in the church in the earliest days of its existence. They also recorded the Lord's will in written form, and it is preserved for us to read and to follow as the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Now today, since the apostles are no longer living, elders are chosen by the congregations to lead. Because for leadership and the work of overseeing the local congregations in the New Testament, the apostles appointed elders in every church who met qualifications that are set forth in Scripture. Titus chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. Under the oversight of these elders who are appointed to serve, special servants called deacons, along with evangelists, preachers, and teachers, help to accomplish the work of the church in the local congregation to the glory of God. Now, in the matter of adding additional men to our eldership here at Redland Road, we have been giving consideration to this matter for the past several weeks. Lord willing, today marks a point that is 2 weeks away from the completion of that matter. Now, in that brief overview of church organization, we've plainly seen from Scripture why the church needs elders. For the rest of our time this morning, I'd like for us to turn our attention to the business of answering that question that is posed by the title of our lesson, "What Does God Expect from Elders?" In an effort to give credit to whom it is due, I must tell you that some of the points for this sermon came from or were borrowed from a book entitled Scriptural Elders and Deacons, written by H.E. Phillips. Now, I'd like for us to attempt to find the answers to this question, at least some of the answers. And for the purpose of our discussion this morning, we'll be looking at the text of Acts chapter 20, verses 28 to 35. Have your Bibles, please open up there and join me as we look at this text for the answers to the question, what does God expect from elders? These words are the words of the Apostle Paul, speaking by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, as he instructed and exhorted the elders of the Ephesus Church of Christ in Acts chapter 20, beginning in verse 28, reading from the American Standard Version. Take heed unto yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit hath made you bishops, to feed the church of the Lord, which he purchased with his own blood. I know that after my departing, grievous wolves shall enter in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. Wherefore, watch ye, remembering that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to admonish everyone night and day with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all that are sanctified. I coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Ye yourselves know that these hands ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. In all things I gave an example that so laboring you ought to help the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus that He Himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, what does God expect from these men? Number one, let me suggest to you that God expects them to take heed to themselves. Since elders' duties concern the souls of men, I believe it is in perfect order to first inspect himself. For an elder to see how he stands in his relationship with God. For an elder must be very careful with his own life. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, the Apostle Paul enjoins upon every member of the body of Christ to examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Even to an especially high degree does this instruction apply to all of those who would be elders. An elder must inquire of himself, am I able to assist the other elders in keeping this congregation in the faith? He needs to ask himself very seriously and very soberly, am I capable of performing my duties in the eldership in a manner that will be pleasing to God? He needs to ask himself, am I able to act impartially toward every member of the congregation? These and other similar questions are very important for an elder or a prospective elder to ask himself, because the Holy Spirit instructs that an elder must take heed to himself. Without question, it is certainly a dangerous thing when an elder fails to see his own faults and weaknesses. Inasmuch as shepherds are to oversee the flock, they're not qualified to do so unless they can oversee their own lives. Elders must always keep themselves under observation in order that they may not be led astray by false doctrines and in so doing ultimately become deceivers themselves. I believe a sad feature of some congregations of the Lord's people today is a pattern of relaxing standards that are set forth in God's Word. The pattern often begins with an eldership which comes under the influence of teaching that is not sound, and yet elderships that will go along with that teaching. and thus become a part of it themselves. We cannot overemphasize the importance of God's expectations of elders in regard to personal integrity. We cannot overemphasize the importance of God's expectation of elders in matters of personal faithfulness to the local congregation and to the truth of God's Word. Secondly, I would suggest to you that God expects elders to take heed to all the flock. It is not enough for a shepherd to just look out for his own conduct and spiritual condition. If that were the only thing that an elder, a shepherd, needed to do, then surely that would be a job of great significance. If any one of us takes seriously the requirements and the teaching of God's will regarding the matter of living our lives in accordance with Christian principle and the doctrine of the New Testament, we understand that the matter of looking to our own selves and trying to make sure that our own lives measure up to the standard that God would have us to live by, it's a big job. But taking that concept a step further, an elder must constantly look out for the conduct and the spiritual condition of every member of the flock. I believe this responsibility, as much as any of them, is highlighted in the illustration of the shepherd and the sheep. The Old Testament prophecy of Ezekiel, in fact, in chapter 34, God pronounced a woe upon the shepherds who had neglected their flocks. Now, while that principle would be true in the literal sense of the physical shepherd out in the field with those literal animals taking care of them, God was using that very valid point to show that He desires, yea, that He demands responsible leadership over His people in any age. That those who would be shepherds of the flock, whether in the Old Testament application, the leaders of the nation of Israel, or in the New Testament application, the elders or shepherds over the flock of God's church, God demands that shepherds take heed to all the flock. In Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 1 through 4, again, God repeats the warning, holding the spiritual leaders of Israel in that day accountable for the neglect that had characterized their leadership. And we must sadly remark that certainly today there are elderships in some congregations of God's people who have fallen short of this tremendous responsibility of taking heed to all the flock, watching and taking care of the sheep that are under their charge. So, the New Testament metaphor is not a new one when God tells elders that they must take heed to all the flock. Now, in order to do this, I believe shepherds must, first of all, know the flock. I see no possible way that a group of shepherds over a congregation of God's people could fulfill the command that is placed upon them in Acts chapter 20, verse 28, to take heed to all the flock unless they know the flock and know the flock very well. The bishops are stewards of God, and they must answer for what goes on within the church that is under their care. How can they possibly do that unless they are acquainted with each one of us? as a father has learned that his children are all different. They learn in different ways. They are led in different ways. They must be treated in different ways. So the wise elder of the church knows that certain members will always need more attention than other members do in certain areas. This is only one of the many aspects in which it is emphasized, again, that it is so very important that the shepherds must know the flock. Taking heed to the flock also implies that the shepherd must watch the flock. It is not enough just to know who they are and maybe even something about each one. But according to Scripture, the shepherd must watch the conduct of the flock to be sure that the flock obeys God and that the members of the flock obey God in all of their relations, at work, at play, at worship. It is tempting on the part of some to see this duty and responsibility of an eldership as some kind of intrusion into our private lives, or at least to view it as some sense of heavy-handed desire to control everything. That impression does not come from Scripture. In fact, Scripture warns the elders that they are not to be lording their authority over the flock, but emphasizes the loving nature of their concern and their overseeing. Wise elders need to study the needs of the congregation and be ready to supply those needs with wisdom. Otherwise, how could they ever watch for our souls as Scripture demands? Number three, I believe this passage teaches us that God expects shepherds to feed the church. Now, there's quite a bit of feeding that goes on around here in the literal sense. And yet we understand that that is not the message that this point holds for us. Fellowship meals, as we call them, are wonderful things. Great opportunities to share and show our love for each other and to enjoy the presence and the company of one another. But God's expectations for shepherds to feed the church grows out again of that illustration of the Jewish shepherd as he carries out his responsibility to the sheep that were in the pasture under his charge. You see, in those days, a shepherd was to pasture the sheep throughout the year. That matter involved the process of leading the sheep from place to place, wherever they could get good grass to eat and good water to drink in safety. In so doing, the shepherds were expected to stay on the alert and to keep a watchful eye at all times. A watchful eye that would help them to determine the specific needs of certain of the sheep. A watchful eye toward the need for better nourishment. Problems that could develop. Hindrances that might afflict the well-being of those sheep. Shepherds in the church today must keep a close watch and careful contact with every member of the flock to know what each needs in the way of spiritual food. I'm afraid sometimes if we have ever been guilty of generalizing the work of our shepherds, our elders, in such a way that we didn't really pay a lot of detailed attention to certain aspects of their responsibility, this probably would be one of them that we've generalized. shepherds are responsible for what is fed the flock. They're responsible for what the flock is fed from the pulpit. They have the responsibility to make sure that what is taught from the pulpit is in accordance with God's will. While that is the responsibility of every one of us as mature Christians, as we listen to anyone teach, elders have the ultimate authority, the responsibility, the charge to be certain of the food that is fed to the flock. In Bible classes of a congregation, the elders are responsible for making sure that good teachers are installed there, that good equipment is needed to whatever degree as can be practical in the use of those methods of teaching, and that sound literature is acquired and fed to those students in those Bible classes. Any child that is not fed will soon perish. Good parents would never let a child eat out of a garbage can. By the same token, Christians that are not fed pure spiritual food that is uncontaminated with the doctrines of men will become spiritually sick, even unto death. Elders must see to it that the young are fed with the sincere milk of the Word, and that the stronger members of the flock receive the strong meat in order that all may grow respectively. In this connection, the shepherds of God's flock are responsible for protecting the flock against dangerous wolves. In verses 29 through 31 of our text there in Acts chapter 20, Paul says, "I know that after my departing, grievous wolves shall enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves men shall arise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. Wherefore, watch ye." Elders who are not watchful are playing right into the hands of Satan. To watch for grievous wolves is to watch out for persons who claim to be teachers of God, but who in reality are teachers of evil doctrines. Such problems are far easier to ward off in the early stages than after they have become fully developed. But the truth of the matter is, at least in some situations, all too often, elders do not know the wolves from the sheep. Therefore, today, many have been led astray in some places. Elders should know every man who preaches and teaches in the congregation. Should know every person who wields the instructive influence over Bible class students. And obviously, elders must always be on guard against all faction and division from among themselves. None but those elderships that are united on the truth of God's Word can be fruitful and effective. In a sense, the expectations that God has for elders are actually no more urgent than the expectations that He has for any of His children. And yet one primary difference is the fact that elders serve as guardians over every single one of us as members of the flock of God. You and I, in the personal sense, are accountable for ourselves, whereas our elders are answerable for themselves and for every single one of us as well. Thus is emphasized the great and awesome responsibility of serving as shepherds of God's flock. As we continue from time to time during the next couple of weeks to examine this subject matter, it is my hope and prayer that you will seriously and prayerfully study God's Word regarding everything that it says about elders. Tonight, we will discuss the example of a shepherd.